What episode are we on? Six? Seven?
No, on episode seven. No, six.
Six.
Episode six.
Hey.
It's the Clubhouse.
Well, yeah, welcome everybody. Episode six of the Clubhouse. Again, we're on location. Clearly, the Clubhouse keeps moving. But we're on location
in the leafy suburbs of Newlands today.
With a special guest.
Oh. Just let me build up to it. First of all, let me talk about the surroundings. You know, in the leafy suburbs, you need to water your lawn, mate.
It's leafy though, right?
Isn't it? Yeah, well, the trees are leafy, guys. I want the lawn to be leafy.
Yeah,
but anyway, the cripple isn't here today. Hop along, Makamuri. Limp Biscuit Makamuri.
AKA Moon.
Chigumbo. Oh. Nyagumbo Makamuri. AKA B-Mac. He's not around. Apparently, I think he pulled a fat or something. I don't know what happened.
Oh, my God, guys. Okay.
But,
let's ease up on that.
Let me take my chance to slate the urn while he's not there. But we've got an even more able replacement. First of all, more fashion conscious.
Oh.
Younger.
Okay.
Just all out. Kuru dudu. Not even cool dude. Kuru dudu. Oh. Mr. GQ himself. I wish you could see what he was wearing. He's looking in fine form. His name is Mr. Give me a C. Actually, I'm going to do that.
Give me a C. Come
His
on,
name
man.
Is Ishri. Komborero.
Chim.
Mr. GQ Chimoto. Good to have you. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm all right.
Chim.
Looking a bit nervous there. Don't worry, nobody can see your face, man. You're recording.
You hope.
It's fine.
I have noticed that.
Yes, thank you. So how's things, man? How are things in general? How's rugby going for you? Enjoying it?
I have been, but I had to stop now. Sort of 6 week break, as they would like to call it.
Yeah.
No rugby, no life.
Let's not slip into that local phase.
We'll delve into that a bit later. But so you're making your Clubhouse virginity is being taken. You ready for this?
Yeah.
You ready for some lively discussion about Izzy Falau and the likes?
Sure.
Let's leave Izzy Falau out of this.
Yeah, speaking of which, his hearing's dragged on. Apparently, he was offered $1 million.
Yeah, he dropped it. No.
They offered him a settlement.
For him to walk away.
So.
Sorry, for him to walk away from his contract?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's not going to work out well.
Yeah, I think.
Did you guys see that church sermon he gave?
No, God.
Didn't see that? He gave a church sermon, basically where he was reiterating how, look, it's going to be a tough road ahead after I said these things, but we had to stick by our faith.
Yeah, I think he's conflating two issues here, to be honest with you. I think his faith is his faith. No one's going to deny him his faith, you know. And what he believes in is what he believes in. I think the biggest issue is not so much what he believes in, but it's the forum which he chose to express what he believed. And the way he went about expressing what he believed, and the fact that it was in his contract that he does not express it in that way. That's the issue. And I think two separate issues are being conflated here, because people think it's an attack on Christianity and on his religion. It's not really an attack on that. Personally, I think it's not an attack on that. I think it's an attack on the misconduct he showed.
AKA his honor.
But I mean, why would he be fighting it if he knew very well that, you know, I actually breached my contract?
Because he felt it in his heart that he had to do it in spite of him signing that contract because of his faith.
And let's be honest, Sha, what would you do? You can't go back. You take a backward step now.
Then your faith is weak.
Then now, what it says in his terms for his fellow parishioners or whatever, it says that, like, you're not backing your faith.
And money is more important.
You know what I mean? So he's at a point of no return now. If I was him, I'd just say, bro, let's go hell for leather. Let's finish this. Let's have a go at it. But what it's become now is it's become quite a divisive issue in that the Polynesians are now split.
Yeah, I believe when Apollo went out about that. He actually went out to say, no, guys, that's what I stand for, as much as he would have been warned by Saracen's rugby board. But he stood by it, still standing by it.
Yeah, he stand. But now you see you've got guys like Will Genia, who
actively said no.
Who said, this is nonsense. He's from Papua New Guinea. He's still Polynesian. And then you've got Taniela Tupou, who's like, "Hey, okay, no, this is nonsense. Why are you guys picking on Falau?" So now there's divisions within that Australia camp, you know, and that's therein lies the issue. Is, you know, it's such a tricky issue, you know, when you,
I just feel like Australia's gonna have to take the hit.
Yeah, they're gonna take.
The hit. I mean, if you lose players because of that, I mean, that would be World a bad Cup year. 5 years for them. Not even looking at the World Cup.
Yeah.
The next 5 years to rebuild something close to what they have now. Because the moment they start losing players, it's not going to be the same.
Okay, let's be honest. Which players are they going to lose? Okay. They won't lose Karevi.
They won't lose Karevi. Not sure yet.
Karevi apologized for his post on Easter.
But then that means you have to stand by his brother on, or he's going to, like you said, taking steps back from his religion.
He already apologized for posting on Easter. So as far as he's concerned, he's like, dude, this is not, like, it's an Instagram post is not worth me
so risking my rugby career. What you're saying is that Karevi has basically stepped away and said, look, I'm not going to be in this controversial in this situation. So Karevi, I'm just chilling over here.
Okay, so Karevi's going to stay. Corey Bett is going to stay. Naivalu is going to stay. Genia is going to stay. Curly's aboriginal, so he doesn't care.
I thought Guinea was aboriginal as well.
No, Guinea is from Papua New Guinea.
Oh.
So Curly Bill's aboriginal. He's like, they've got their own issues, by the way. Did you guys hear about what's going on in Australia? Sorry to divert.
Which part?
The one about being able. I couldn't. You're gonna laugh at this, bro. There's this. I think it's gone to the High Court, where the indigenous people can be deported if they don't have Australian citizenship.
To where?
But I mean,
that's against UN law. You can't have a stateless individual.
You can deport an aborigine if he doesn't come out and claim to be an Australian citizen. But deport to where?
There's international laws, whatever, against stateless citizenship. Even though you can self-declare that you're stateless, but you can't be pushed out of that place against your human rights.
That is possibly the most absurd thing I've heard all year.
Deporting people you found there, natives of that land.
Sagai, where HB, if I go to Bulawayo, I can be like, ay, where go? No. You're not in the belly, you're being deported.
What's the from Bulawayo, in the belly?
I would like to believe you.
I'd like to believe. I think, Chimota, how do you think this thing is going to end? This Falau saga?
I seriously feel like Osiris is going to take the hit. He's going to have to. I don't feel like he's going to be okay with coming back. Or he might not even come back. But they're going to have to open their contracts to that as well. Because if they don't, it's going to be messy in the camp. It is definitely going to be messy.
Yeah, I bet you one thing. I bet you they are going to take the hit, right? But they won't be allowed to fully take it. Like, they will try and. So in a way where it's not like
it's gonna come back to world rugby as a whole.
Yeah. Why?
Because it's gonna come back at every nation if you look at it.
Because not every nation believes in those things.
Well, the ones that matter do.
Ooh. What is it? 10 minutes in and he's coming with controversial statements.
Good lord.
I mean the ones that actually do matter. That's on the street.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
The ones that make the decisions, the ones that hold the most sway.
Oh yes. Oh,
you'd like to play.
Tell them again. Nice, tell them again.
Nicer.
In more politically correct terms.
Okay.
The ones who hold the most sway.
The ones that change the scrum rules every now and again.
Yeah.
But you see now the thing is okay. The way I think this is gonna end is. Australia rugby. I don't know what evidence Michael Checker put up. I guess it depends on that, but I just feel that they're gonna say, Falau, you gotta go, because what's the point in upsetting? Okay, Falau, he's one man, and then Taniela Tupou. That's two dudes, right?
You need him.
No, They can.
You need them.
You need those two. But also, if Michael Hooper says, I don't know if I can play with him, that's your captain. You need Hooper, okay? You need Pocock.
But they might actually think the other way as well.
No. Do you think
No. Hooper Chun, I don't want to be on the same team with those two. That's what Hooper said.
And even Pocock. Pocock wouldn't marry his girlfriend until they legalized same-sex marriage in Australia. So do you think Pocock is going to be like, okay, fine, so I refuse to marry the love of my life because of this, and I'm just going to come in with this guy is saying this kind of nonsense.
And pass him the ball.
Pocock is arguably, not even arguably, he is Australia's most important rugby player. Literally. That guy can win games single-handedly. Folau can lose games single-handedly.
And can win games
single-handedly. Because you all know the classic saying. He can lose games
single-handedly.
We all know the classic saying, right?
Guys, that is Australia rugby going out the
door. Difference between Israel, Folau, and time?
I mean, that is
bro.
Australia going out the door.
Okay, first of all.
Even time passes.
Dude, I'm going to be honest. Look, Folau's got flair and whatever, but he's not going to win a game single-handedly. He can lose a game single-handedly, which he did last year against Argentina. He had three opportunities to pass, and he didn't, because he wanted to go for the glory on his own. And then they ended up losing. You can't lose someone like Pocock. You can't lose someone like Hooper. And that's the reality of it. And it's so sad. And listen, it's not as if, okay, well, it's not. He's a backline player. As much as I don't like to say this, because I, too, am a backline player, there will always be another one to come up through the ranks at some point. Do you know that that over the weekend, Australia under 20 beat New Zealand under 20, like 24-0?
No.
They beat New Zealand under 20, 24-0, 20-something-0. So there's already, now you can see the pipeline, there's already another one waiting to come through. But a player of Pocock's quality and his caliber will not, doesn't come around every day.
I think what you want to say is like the Pococks and the...
The forwards are much more difficult to replace.
The guy for New Zealand?
McCaw. How can you forget that's gas.
My apologies. The McCaws and the Pococks are people who are built over time. What they do, you know, the ball disturbances, the going in for the rucks and digging out ball. That stuff is built over time. Whereas backline players are more like they have their talent set and they wait for the ball. It's coming.
I think, okay. With backs, you can learn a lot. I mean, there's always a lot to learn. But when you get a kid who's just pure talent, they come up quite quickly. And they, like the Reds even, their center, their 13 is 18 years old. He's playing Super Rugby and he's 18 years old. Like, just out of high school.
Who's that?
For Esotia. He's, 18 years old. And he's carving teams up at Super Rugby level. You get a... it's so common to get a freak of nature like that with backline players all the time. With forwards, hey, it's tricky, man. I mean, thinking it off the top of my head now, I think Jordan Joseph is probably the only one. He was number 8 for France under 20 last year. He was 17. When they won the under-20 World Championships last year. 17 years old. He's the only one that can come to mind as just an absolute freak of nature as a forward. So, you know, it's a tricky one. But either way, it's a lose-lose situation for both parties involved. No one wins. No one wins.
Yeah, no one wins.
No one wins. And that's the saddest thing. No one wins. Everybody loses.
And no, rugby is the biggest loser.
You're going to be robbed of an amazing talent. An amazing talent.
And supporters that come with.
And not to mention the people who don't want to link up to the sport anymore because of this bad situation that is occurring in general.
But I mean,
I'm just trying to say, why don't they make it a level slate? Like, it has to be equal for everyone. Because now supporters that go with Izzy won't look at rugby as the same thing. Well, these so-called clauses in the contract.
PC gone mad, as they say.
Yeah. So now it's more of they'll support this side of the world, the people that make the rules and the likes. So now I can't look at rugby the same, Australian rugby, as we say, right?
No, you can't.
Because now if they have the time and the strength to actually demolish something that they had built over years, just because of this issue. Because there are certain people that are powerful in high areas. Mm-hmm. It's not fair, and it will change the sport as a whole.
Yeah, dude, well, I'll be honest with you. I don't think it will change it for too long, because trust me, man, especially in Australia, there's a sporting scandal every week. NRL players have done much worse. There's the, I forgot his name, man. He was playing for the team. I think they were in Canberra. He was playing for the Canberra Raiders, I think. He had a team night out. He performed some acts with dogs. With the dog. Yeah.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, just NRL player. There's always these. Like, Australia always has these scandals. Always have these scandals. So I give it like a year or two, and then Australia rugby will just start rebuilding, to be honest. Because NRL is just crazy, man. Like, if you follow NRL, there's always something. There's always something. So this will blow over. Like everything else, this will blow over. Right now, everyone's really watching because the media has hyped it up to a point where they really want Folau to be terribly punished for this. You know, terribly, terribly punished. But you ask yourself something. What's the difference between what Folau... The difference between... Yes, Folau went on and said it. But I guarantee you there's a lot more homophobic stuff that's said by a lot of these people in their backyards when they're having a barbecue. That's the truth. But anyway, let's move on to... some lighter subject matter. Last week was a big week. Schoolboy rugby in Zimbabwe. Dairy Board Festival. it was an interesting 7 days of rugby with some good results and not so good results. Off the top of my head, what was the biggest surprise? The biggest surprise was, I think, Gundy beating St. John's.
Yeah.
That was a big surprise.
Definitely.
Big surprise. You didn't watch any Dairy Board, did you?
No, unfortunately not.
You have no life.
Oh.
You have no idea.
What would you be doing?
Working.
Okay.
Okay, so, Chimoto, what did you think?
Okay, there's been word going around that the new coach, miraculously, I don't know, beefed up the Bison squad to be able to actually win and come over, what you call this,
John's.
I might give it to him because I'm not sure beefed how up. Long.
How did he beef?
How long?
Beefed up.
Because, I mean, they've just been always average, I guess. So I don't know. I actually don't know what actually happened at camp, but they actually managed to have a convincing win over John's. I watched the last, say, 30 minutes. They were coming hard.
Really?
Yeah, they are.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, please. These are schoolboys. Can you pull your mind out the gutter, bro?
No, I did. That was you by yourself.
No, that's you. I saw the look on your face.
No. When he says hard, I mean the Luma Gandhi was running at them. Not your perverted thoughts. Come back, Gavin. Seriously.
HB, please.
No. I'm being serious. When you
look, it's fine.
Loma Gundy has always been average, like you said, right?
Yeah.
So when you said they were running hard at those zones, that's why I'm surprised.
Can you hear how loudly he's defending himself?
Oh, come on, I had to do that because you just went like tangently by yourself, bro.
Okay.
Good lord.
All right.
This is a PG show, I keep telling you.
Alright. Okay.
Anyway.
Back to the matter, how did you see it? Did you watch the game?
Yeah, I watched the game. Their carrying was impressive. Number one, number three, number four, number eight. Just going at them.
Arguably the biggest in schoolboy rugby.
Who, St. John?
What's it? Gandhi. Four.
There's Churchill number four.
Okay, yeah, there's the Churchill.
There's the Churchill team. We'll get to that later. But the Gundy played well. They played with some serious firepower. They were carrying hard. The backs ran pretty hard. I think St. John's gave it away in the sense of they were too flat when they were attacking. So they were denying themselves time and space. And it's okay to play on the gain line when you've got guys running hard outside, when you've got players running hard, like forwards hitting the ball really hard and all of that. But
That's not what was happening. They were going, they were running flats, but they weren't running as hard. And like Gandhi just brought Kenya. For those who don't know what Kenya is, they just brought Kenya. Kenya is, how would you best describe Kenya?
Aggression.
Yeah.
Determination to win.
Yeah. They just played, as Constant Beckerling would say, they just played with massive testicles and they just brought the heat. But what my biggest concern, just in Dairy Board as a whole, the amount of 19-year-olds that are playing, I think it's a bit too much now. I think we need to, I think just the schoolboy rugby and Zim needs to put a cap on that, because when Kyle beat St. George's, Kyle had a lot of overage players. The guys are turning 19 this year.
So what you're basically saying is that Kyle would have won if it was normal rules.
Yeah, but dude, like, let's be honest. You're getting guys who are 15 or 16 playing against guys who are 19. That's, we're turning 19. Do you know what I mean?
Why didn't Georges bring the 18-year-olds?
Well, they didn't.
They don't have any.
Well, in a normal school setting, you should not.
You should not.
Because, I mean, that's why Saints doesn't have.
You so normal, you know, school setting, you're not supposed to play.
Supposed to be 18 at A level.
Yes.
Then you go out to school.
Not turning 19. Not turning,
you're actually 18.
Yes,
I agree. You've turned 18.
So where are those turned 18 people? Which Georges?
No, not every school.
Yeah.
Not every school setting.
Not every school has people who are overage. You do realize that, right?
So you said 15-year-olds.
Yes. Yeah, you've got guys who've just finished playing under 16. Like, if he's just finished playing under 16, then he's proven himself. He's good enough. He's old enough. Okay. Yeah. He's proven himself, so he's getting first team. He's playing first team in a preseason tournament. Mm-hmm. Now you're telling me you're going to take someone who's 19 this year.
Okay, where the under 17s?
I don't know. It's not himself. Everyone that can play. Right?
Yeah, so you're saying that
you could be 19, but you can't play.
Okay,
but you
can't play. Wait, so you're saying that Georges' best players are probably
I think you're focusing too much. You're focusing too much on Georges. The systemic problem that I'm saying that we're having is we're having guys who are turning 19. Mm-hmm. Too many of them are playing in this tournament. Mm. Because it's no longer now under 18. Or under 19. It's now under 20.
Okay, hold on.
Schoolboy rugby should not be under 20.
Well, the thing is, now what they say is 19 and below. This is the schoolboy rugby cap in Zimbabwe. It's 19 and below. Are we just saying they should actually put something under it that says, okay, you can only have so much in the team.
Thank you. That's where we're going with this. Maximum of 3.
Yeah, max 4.
Now 20% of the team. Because look at it this way, right? You can, if you have any more, okay, if you have like 5, the entire, let's look at the spine of a team. You got your hooker, your lock, your 9, your 10, your 8, and your 15, right? Yeah. So you got 6 guys. Okay, if you have 5 or 6, 5 guys who in the spine of your team that at that age, it's going to be a huge difference. Because now you're talking tactics and you're looking tactically here. Because, I mean, that Kyle Flyoff, sorry to hop back onto this game, was tactically superb.
No, we'll come back to this game.
Was superb. He controlled the game. He managed it really well. But
we're going to come back to this game.
But, you know, and you also got to look at also in terms of, as we were discussing in the week, selection for Craven. How is that? Because National Trials Week can you see now? This is a chance for you to really showcase all the talent in one go. Mm.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't cross that line. Don't get too deep in that one.
No, I'm not. What do you mean? No, it's got nothing to do with bias, but what you've got to look at. No. Come on.
It's got nothing to do
with bias. What it is now, this is the only opportunity to have all the top schools in the same place, in 1 week.
What about the ones that boycotted?
They boycotted. That's part of the reason why they boycotted.
Really?
They actually come up with every possible reason not to come. So if you give them this, they'll pay it against you.
Exactly.
Right.
So for the guys who decided, no, we don't want to do this, that's another added reason. These are, we don't know if our players are the same age as these guys and all that and all that and all that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So now, even from a selection point of view, this is the one, this is a golden opportunity. You've got all the big schools in one place. You can watch every single game and say, okay, fine. So instead of watching most of the games, be like, okay, that fly off is good. What year is he born? Ah, he's too old. That number 9, ah, too old. Number 2, old. Too old. Too old. So now it complicates selection because then, okay, so you've got this now and then you've got week 1 and week 2. You've got 2 game weeks where there's teams playing all over the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to somehow pick a provincial, pick provincial sides. Then you come together and play over 2 days. And then that day you pick your national team. That's not enough time. That's not enough time. That's not enough exposure. That's not enough. It's not enough. And I feel like they need to take steps and measures to limit it. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not going to name the schools. But there was one game played, bro. I'll guarantee you the average age was about 22.
Oh.
You know the one. You know the one.
I saw a few photos.
Thank you.
I saw a few photos and pictures about that, hey? I saw some men beating up children.
No, no, no. That was fine. It was men beating up men. So it was okay.
It was okay, yeah.
It was okay.
That picture said a lot, eh?
It said a lot.
Because you can't tell me that the whole nation agrees that, you know, this person does not probably look a particular age. Or is supposed to be in school in any way. Because now, what we have is, if those guys are playing at school level, what do we have playing in club level? Okay. All right. So now, because we need to have development in the country. So if you're too old to be playing schoolboy and still in school, you can always go back and play, watch for this club level, under 21. It's open for guys that are obviously under 21. not 18, but under 21.
True.
So, you know, it was, I think it's becoming a big issue in schoolboy rugby in Zimbabwe, and it diminishes quite a lot of it. It diminishes quite a lot, but having said that, though, there was a hell of an entertaining game. There were some really entertaining games. I thought the final game stood out. It was entertaining. It was quite entertaining. P.E. Churchill was very, very entertaining. Couple of bad decisions.
A lot, actually.
A lot of bad decisions. But, hey, it was what the fans came to see. Big hits, running rugby, some intensity. It was good, and there was some really good execution of just some really good bits of play. Very good execution in parts, and then others, some of it was just, you were just like, why the hell are you doing that? Why?
Yeah, you need to understand that stage in life where they're playing schoolboy rugby, and it's for the fans, and unlike you and some of us, it's not about that. You know, get carried away, having quick taps and the likes. You know, some of the things that you know you're not supposed to be doing, but anyway, you do it. But to be honest, Churchill game, standout game. Good comeback for the Tigers.
Of course you'd say that.
It was a good comeback. Was it not 14-3 at halftime?
It was a good comeback, but you could feel like it was always coming.
So are you openly saying Tigers is that good? What are you getting at?
I'm not saying that they're good. All I'm saying is that when you could see that it was going to, that it was coming.
So you think it's always going to be coming?
What do you mean it's always going to be coming? In this game? In this game? No, not always. I don't think you have an unbeaten season. But that PE were value for money in the win. I think, as I was saying to you, a couple of bad decisions, there were some kickable penalties where right in front of a post, or you'd have penalty advantage. And then there was no communication with the ref in terms of, at the start of the game, you know, you always need to feel the ref out and see where an advantage, like how long, what he deems a long enough advantage. So there were times when there'd be penalty advantage and then silly decisions would be made, then major mistake turn off.
Not to come at the refs, there's this, the last try, if you remember correctly, the last try, there was an infringement on the mall. Remember?
Yeah.
And he played advantage. And then he kicked, fly off kicked, a cross kick. And then, miraculously, the moment he got to the other half of the field, it was gone. That was less than 30 seconds, if I'm to be honest.
Yeah, but advantage isn't about length.
What is it about?
It's about tactical advantage.
But I mean, what they only did.
Tell me you understand that.
But they were not going. They were not going forward, were they? They actually retained their own ball. Yeah, just got to the ground.
Tactical advantage. It's not about length per se. It's about tactical advantage. So, and I'm not defending the ref because I was also like, huh? But he probably deemed that PE had gotten enough tactical advantage from that crossfield kick because they were supposed to score. They should have scored from that kick.
So he was supposed to come back.
They should have scored from that kick. But he deemed that they had gained enough tactical advantage. And then they also infringed PE as well. Because it wasn't a knock-on. They gave away a penalty, didn't they?
Because
they did something stupid out wide.
They gave out a knock-on. It was a knock-on. But then the sideline system didn't call it back for the advantage.
So advantage isn't always necessarily about length. It's about tactical advantage. Sometimes, obviously, because generally it takes time to break the team down when you've got your advantage to work on it. Yeah, sure. But it's about tactical advantage.
Alright, but I'm just saying, if PE retained ball, right, and they're on the ruck, and so happen to knock on the ball, you're supposed to come back to the advantage, right? Because there's no way it could have been over.
Yeah, but again, you're mixing up two different things, mm-hmm. Kurt. You're mixing up two different things. That crossfield kick, if you'd caught it... No, he caught it. There was still... That was... Literally, when he landed, he just had to go like this. You had a support player there. He just had to pop it to him.
Try. Okay.
But you know what I mean? But there was tactical. There was enough. It's different in that from that situation and the scrum off knocking it on at the base of the ruck when there's people all around him. Because there's nothing tactical to be gained. I'm just helping you see it in the way that the ref would have seen it.
So you mean Zimbabwe refs always see
it? Yeah, but Zimbabwe refs, but you know, listen, we had this discussion already about Zimbabwe refs. But you know that's the way he would have seen it. And that's the way he would have interpreted it. But, no, it was... But having said that, no, I think it was an entertaining game. And... The problem now just becomes so apparent that what after rugby, and it's the passion is there, the commitment is there, but now you ask yourself what after rugby? Because for a lot of these kids, that was it. Also, one thing I want to point out is there were a couple of concussions. A couple of times I saw a couple of kids concussed.
Okay.
Or tight head.
From
PE.
You got concussed.
He had a nasty head clash in the first half. And then he got up and then he was going back like this. Like, I think it's because he has a bit of a limp, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
He does. So it wasn't apparent. But
something's wrong.
This guy had his bell rung. But if you'd heard the sound of the contact, because it wasn't a sound, it was a sound. So the other guy's head hit him in the jaw. So it was like
close to the ear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dangerous.
And then he went down and then he got up and you could tell he was seeing stars. Even when because I think PE then conceded a penalty. So he went back because he was waiting for the lineup. And he was standing there and you could see in his face that this dude is confused. He doesn't know where he is.
Yeah, that's something that you need to look at.
Yeah.
Every time. It's better to stop play than actually continue play at that speed of a game. With the kid being injured.
So, I don't know. I think... But it was like... Who do you think is going to take it this year? Who do you think is going to be the top school?
Top school or undefeated?
I don't think anyone will go undefeated.
Like, I don't know of Piraeus on Falcon.
Hey?
But Kyle will cause a lot of upsets. Definitely.
I see a couple of teams refusing to play Kyle because of... The whole overage thing.
Is it a thing? Is it like an...
I mean, it's not a thing like Kyle purposely went to get overage players. That's just the card they were adults. You know what I mean? That like a lot of guys in that stream are like a year older than them, you know. But I can see people making a big issue out of it. I can see it being made a really big issue.
Like, but I mean, it's been happening.
I know.
It's been happening whereby you have a squad with... Close to what? 9 people, 10 people that can't be selected for Craven Week. That was what? That was in Pirao some year. That was it happens at every school. Mm. So I don't know if they can actually pick Kyle out on that one and say we don't want to play you.
Yeah, some people. Some you know how it's managed. Some people. But I think yeah, you like you're saying, Kyle were looking very good. They're looking sharp. They're looking very decent, very centers run very, very hard. Their 12 runs very, very hard. Interesting, but I think Falcon. I've heard good things about Falcon. I heard that they got some decent size and some pretty good, pretty handy players. Peterhouse as well. I've heard quite a lot about them. So it's going to be a very interesting year. I don't think anyone will go unbeaten. I don't think anyone has that clear of an advantage over everyone else to go unbeaten.
All right. So rankings. Just from the top of your head. From what you've heard
for this upcoming season.
Yeah, schoolboy.
Well, obviously, I can't give rankings because obviously I'm biased. Yeah, so I can't.
Come on, just okay, let's.
I'm not doing that.
Okay, I'll set you at 4.
Nope, I'm not doing it.
I'll set you at 4.
No!
Says goes to 4.
No! I'm sitting on the fence.
Sitting it's me?
Firmly on the fence.
This year. Okay, top. Can I name top 4?
Yeah.
Or top 5? Top 4, top 5. Kyle, P.E., Churchill. Not in order, of course. Kyle, P.E., Churchill, Falcon, and one other thing. One other school.
Hillcrest.
Hillcrest is actually not part of those. Is it not in the co-ed? The second league.
Yeah, they're in the co-ed league.
Because they don't play Johns.
Yeah. I have a question to bring us back to the beginning. You said Kyle beat who?
They beat Gandhi, they beat Saints.
Right.
They beat.
When you said they beat Saints, right?
I think so.
You said they beat Saints, and my question was, are we saying that their age advantage, even though, is what ultimately gave them the win? Had they been playing their age mates, they would have lost?
I'm not saying they would have, but it's still not a level playing yet.
Okay. I thought I was trying to get it at the beginning of this whole
and not just,
3-point discussion.
Like I said, it's not just fixing, like picking on Kyle. We're not picking on them,
mm-hmm.
first of all. Because I think it now seems like we're ragging on them. We're not. They played a fantastic game. They deserve to win that game.
Okay.
Because they played really well. I mean, their 10 was exceptional. Like, his management of the game was
yes,
really, really good. But, as I said, it is a bit of an advantage. Because again, you look developmentally, if there's a team who has a 16-year-old, a guy who's just turned 16 playing against a guy who's turning 90, it's over. You know what I mean? And like I said, again, if the spine of that team, if you've got the guys in the important positions that run the game, if they're overage, that makes a big difference.
So, from the two of you, what is an ideal court code next year look like?
First of all,
ideal.
Ideal?
Yes.
I would say I don't want to be moved.
Define moved. Location?
Like location. I don't need it to be
moved. Has there been a call to move court code?
Not. I think there should be a call to close it down.
Okay.
You haven't been there.
No, I wasn't there this year.
Yeah. It's now become a social hub.
Oh,
so to say.
I mean, you got school kids sitting on the bonnets of cars driving around the school.
Playing music.
Literally, there was one kid sitting on the bonnet of a car, BMW, driving all over the place. And the light is just parking. And he's wearing his school uniform.
Yeah.
And nobody, this is at a school event, no one goes and says, what the hell are you doing?
Okay. Social issues.
So your schoolboys are not behaving like she?
Schoolboys.
Like schoolboys. When was that? Was that acceptable when you were in school?
No.
You have...
If you drove a car to my school, you parked that car before 7:30, right? And you had to leave after everyone's gone. Because you couldn't be like showing off with that issue.
I mean, before... Even like the one time, the other car had kids wearing silk. So what I'm saying now is if he comes with his car wearing civilian clothing and he does whatever he wants, you can't exactly tell him what to
do. No, you can't. You can't.
You get what I mean?
Yes.
So I'm saying if they could find a way
to make it all about rugby and more less of being the social hub. Because I mean, I was there on when was it, Gav? The first day,
Tuesday.
It wasn't as bad, but on Saturday, at the time I was walking with a friend, and I told him, I wish these kids could actually sit down for a moment, because they were everywhere. Even when the games were being played, they were everywhere.
They were everywhere.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not saying people should not come and have a good time.
True.
Yeah, but I'm saying that.
First of all,
yeah, sure. And also they have to cut now because you're having so many kids coming in uniform. I don't know how that was initially set up, but we have, I mean, average 300 kids from every school coming in uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That means it's more of the school kids. Not saying they should not support their teams, but now I don't know what it is about anymore. Because if they're going for profit and these kids are getting it for free, then...
And they're taking up valuable sitting space for both who are paying.
So they're compromising quality for numbers.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it.
They're compromising quality and just good organization for numbers.
It's better organized.
Organization.
Organization.
Yeah.
You cannot... This is a huge event. You're telling me that balls... Simple mesh balls, right? They didn't have mesh balls. There was no mesh ball.
So they were playing with them by my item.
Only on the main field, I guess. Because, but I mean, then if you're open to having so many games being played at once, you have to provide all the balls.
Exactly.
So you have to be at least four balls.
Four balls.
I mean, okay,
minimum four balls.
Per field.
Balls.
Yeah, per field. How many fields are there?
Four.
Are operating?
One, two, three, four.
Five. They're five.
Five, actually, yeah.
Five. They're five. So all you need is 20 balls that are in good condition. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having, now you rock up, there's a mesh ball. You kick a penalty.
Now you change the ball.
There's no other ball. Now you have to change the ball. Now we have to use one of my players' balls to play with it. And you're like, but guys, this doesn't make sense. You know, it's just little things.
If they're going to go for this, they have to go all the way.
Right? Yeah.
Because now this is how other schools will tend to come at them and say, you know what, we're not going to sit for these set standards. Because now they're going to be like, let's have a St. George's invitation.
Oh my goodness.
Can they have a Falcon Invitational tournament? Now we have probably 8 schools, and they know very well that they're going to have lunch, they're going to have this, going to have good facilities, good everything. And, you know, there's no one who's going to ever walk away from a good thing.
Yeah, right? Very true.
Yeah,
very true.
You can't walk away from a good thing. You're probably going to be going there. And so they're like, no, they're just trying to stand out or trying to stand on their own. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's about what you put forward, what you put on the table for them to take.
What's enticing them to rock up, to put in the effort to send teams?
Because I won't lie to you, a good rugby game is not everything. Because you can't tell me, I was sitting on the floor, literally on the grass. I had to sit on the grass because, I mean, I had nowhere else to be. So if they can't have enough sitting places, I mean, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to be?
I hear you. Well, let's hope that they can do something about it, because the standard has changed a lot from when I used to go to Coco. A lot.
You used to go with your bandana and your FUBU 05.
What are you talking about?
Busy.
What are you talking about?
Someone used to wear durags. Right? used to wear durags.
Oh, wow. Durags? Really? My age? No, not possible.
Not your age, but back then.
I wonder where you were. Back when you were a free spirited 24-year-old.
Super Rugby is getting hot.
No, Super Rugby is screwing up Super Brew for everybody. It's rubbish, man.
Super Rugby is getting hot. This weekend was not looking good for anyone. I'm surprised.
Especially between one all game.
Two draws, huh?
Rubbish, man.
Two draws this year.
Rubbish.
Kukera had to just win that one. I mean, that final
one was the problem.
The last minute try. Yeah. But I guess Sharks is up for the fight this season.
This is the bring it.
Because we've always been writing them off, but now.
Did you see that letter from the former wing? We were talking about how the Sharks environment is very, what's the word he used? Not good, not a good environment. It's very negative. It's very intimidating. Did you see that letter?
Mm.
apparently, up until a couple of weeks ago, Kevin Bosch wasn't starting because he missed a kick at last year's on that Curry Cup. Then he was being punished, being put on the bench as a punishment. But the owner that he put in his stead was now like an open road. People were just running through him.
Apparently.
No, the other guy. The someone else was put at 10 ahead of Bosch.
Robert Dupre?
Him. Apparently, Owens were not always running at Robert Dupre because Hans is an open road.
Are you saying the coach is son? What are you trying to go get at?
That's what they were saying. That's what they were saying, that this guy has done this to Kevin Bosch because of one mistake and now he's put his whatever his son did.
Yeah, but I think Robert Dupre was the better 10. Is the better 10.
Than Kevin?
Yeah. Kevin is a good fullback. He's not. He's fullback. I was surprised that Fassi was starting ahead of him, to be honest with you. I think Dupre was a better 10.
But anyway.
No, that Sharks Raiders game was interesting. I was surprised. Yeah, I thought they were going to lose. The Sharks.
You know what? Anyone, when properly motivated, anyone can defend. And what gets me is that the Sharks got that score without being creative. Because it was the antithesis of Super Rugby. Because Super Rugby is all about creativity. Create tries, go for tries, score tries. You know. And the Sharks, all their points were from penalties. It was very Northern Hemisphere. Very Northern Hemisphere rugby. Taking like nothing away from them, I guess. But it was very Northern Hemisphere. And they nearly pulled off a big upset. You know. I mean, that was probably the most boring draw I've ever seen in my life. I mean, the Chiefs game was a draw, but it was at least it was entertaining. There was running rugby. There was some good tries scored. But hey, that's just me. What do you think about the game with six yellow? Was it six yellow cards?
What game was that?
The Reds. Oh, the Reds playing. The Reds and the Sunwolves. Six yellow cards.
Six yellow cards in one game.
Yeah, two red cards.
One for each. Oh. Sharing the spoils.
Yeah. You know, Super Rugby has been so unpredictable this season, and it's great because it makes it fun to watch.
Doesn't make it fun when my team is losing.
Which team is that?
Lions. We just came from being up there, and now we're
this year. You're having a bad time.
Nothing lasts forever, man.
You're having a bad time.
Nothing lasts forever. I think injuries have messed you up, and
players leaving.
Yeah. Hula? Oh yeah, friggin' Ackerman busy taking half of the Lions team and bringing it to Gloucester.
I don't understand.
It's no wonder Gloucester are doing so well. But doesn't that say to you that there was a click in the Lions team?
It actually does. It was just one crop of players playing. If you look at it,
so there was a click. Ackerman and his boys, because all of Ackerman's boys are the ones who've gone to Gloucester.
Yeah. Think about it. But that's what made it better. So I don't really mind if it was a click or not.
So I'm just saying to you, do you not think that that what's actually happening now with all those guys leaving will add to team chemistry? The team they might initially struggle, but because now that click has been disbanded, you know, you're getting a chance to rebuild and put something new in place. Because think about it, how much that could have caused for team chemistry if I guess they believe in Swayze, De Bruyne, but if Ackerman had left and Swayze was just left to take charge from the very beginning, that would have caused a huge disconnect because clearly they're all so into Ackerman and what he preaches.
I don't know why, but I see more of the players actually moving to the UK.
Yeah, a lot.
I mean, what's his name? Recently. Left, Mostert's there, Faf is there, and it seems like
everyone Yako Creel is there.
You see, it seems like everyone else is going to leave. But I don't know. Do you remember what game was that? When, what's the coach? When he sort of tried to just incorporate the whole Lions team into the Springboks. And that didn't work.
Oh, Heineken.
Yeah.
The mayor or Coutier?
No, it was Coutier. It actually didn't work.
Yeah.
That was the worst season we ever had.
Oh, Jesus.
You're a box fan.
Yeah.
Okay, well, everybody, that ends episode. Yeah, this is nonsense. Get out of here. You're a lost soul.
You're a lost soul.
You're a lost soul.
Don't listen to Gavin. Believe in yourself and your team. Well, this is going to be an interesting weekend then.
Well, what are the fixtures?
We have the Blues versus the Hurricanes.
Oof.
I'm going for the Blues.
You're going for the Blues?
Yeah.
You know the Blues lost at the weekend, right?
Yeah, against the Brumbies.
But I know they're going to take
against the Brumbies. But the Brumbies are good at home, man.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's a tough one.
And then we've
what
got...
What was the Canes score? Oh, how much did the Canes win by?
The Canes and...
They weren't too convincing, huh?
This past weekend?
Hmm.
They 29-19 against the Rebels.
I'll give it to the Blues. They're playing in Auckland, eh? Where are they playing?
I'm not sure where they're playing.
Check where they're playing. If they're playing in the Westpac Stadium, they need my one.
Eden Park.
Eden Park. Ah, bro. Blues. Get it done.
Okay, next one.
Rebels and Reds.
Rebels.
All day. Rebels. But the Rebels had a slow start this weekend, eh? The first half was uncomfortable.
That's who was playing against the Canes.
The first half was uncomfortable.
Yeah, what was it? 29-0 halftime.
The first half was uncomfortable.
Catch.
Oh, yes. And then we've got the Bulls versus the Crusaders.
In Loftus.
Yeah, that's probably Loftus.
I think Crusaders will take it. Crusaders will take it. No, they'll take it.
You skims one?
Yeah.
Then we'll have the Highlanders and the Jaguares.
And Forsyth Bar. Forsyth Bar?
Oui. Yeah, Forsyth Bar.
Probably the Landers. Landers.
Skims one?
Yeah. Landers will take it.
If it was in
there, Landers will take it.
Chiefs versus the Sharks.
That's all a tight right. one. In Hamilton. Where is it? Where is yeah. it? Hamilton.
FMG Stadium.
FMG Stadium, yeah, that's in Hamilton.
Okay. So
if Brody's playing, then the Chiefs will take it. But if he's not,
I'll go with the Chiefs.
I'm going Chiefs, man. Depiko Etani Falba.
I'm taking Sharks on this one.
Yeah, okay.
Alright.
Don't hate, appreciate. Lions and the Tars.
Lions.
Yeah.
We Ellis Park.
I mean, with our current form, I don't see the Lions but I mean,
doing that.
My team.
You reckon?
I don't see them doing it.
Yeah, because the Tars have been good tries against the Bulls. Yeah. They ended up losing, but they played some good tries.
They're doing it.
Some good rugby.
They're doing it.
They've been in South Africa for a while, right? Who did they play last?
They played
the Bulls.
Wait.
Who left us?
Okay, so yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, look for
I'll just go with the Lions.
I'll go Tars.
I'm taking the Tars.
I'll go Tars.
And then on Sunday morning, Brumbies and Sun Wolves.
Who cares?
No one cares, but I'll go on Sun Wolves. Right?
Now I'll go Brumbies.
I think Sun Wolves. Tokyo.
Tokyo.
You know, no. Sorry, GIO Stadium.
GIO Stadium. They're playing in Canberra. In Canberra. Yeah, come on. Gotta give it to the Brumbies.
Ah, so
and Fulau Fainga to score a brace. What? Falao Fainga scored a hat-trick the other day. Do you know what the Brumbies do?
Wasn't that like...
The Brumbies just more. They just doof corner.
Because they were
doof corner.
Their more was quite wonderful.
That's all they do.
Yeah,
that's quite wonderful.
I mean, they ran in a couple against the Chiefs, I'm not going to lie. But their more is pretty efficient. It's pretty dark. When's the Heineken Cup final?
Heineken Cup final? Let's find out.
Leinster and Saracens. We all know who's going to win that.
Leinster. I know it's going to win, but I'm going to be supporting Saracens.
I hate Saracens. I don't like Saracens at all.
Like, I don't, but I...
They just, are just... They just seem like a team full of...
11th of May.
On Saturday.
St. James Park, Newcastle.
Come on, Leinster. Come on, Leinster.
Do they seem like the team of what?
Very arrogant.
If you're winning...
Very arrogant demeanor. Look at Mario Itoje. Does he strike you, just from what you've seen in the games?
Does he strike me as what?
But I rate Leinster will take it. And Leinster will... I hope Leinster take it.
You hope?
I hope they take it. I think they will. They've got a number of farewells.
They worked hard, huh?
They worked very hard. And... Irish rugby needs a huge boost, but the way Saracens put Munster away.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Munster fan?
No. They put them to sleep.
Oh, yeah, hey, they put them away. They put them away.
Chokehold, wouldn't
they? They put them away, but it depends on what pack Cullen and Lancaster pick.
Alright. Dope.
Alright, well, everybody at the clubhouse, that's it for today.
Thanks for tuning.
Thank you to Chimoto on his audition.
To be the next BMAC?
No, not to be the next BMAC. I still want to keep my limbs.
Ooh, Limp Bizkit, did you hear that?
He started off with the thighs, ending with the thigh.
So all you hear is when Chimoto's walking the corridor, all he just hears BMAC because it's behind him. Be careful, bruh. You get a crutch over the head. But anyway, guys, have a good week. We'll catch up with you at some point. This is the Clubhouse signing out.
Why do you always do that? You stop doing that.